You're walking in the streets of Manhattan, and a guy opens up his suit jacket and says, "Hey, you want to buy tzitzis? $2 a piece. Save $30 or whatever it is, $25, however much tzitzis costs. $40 you can save, yeah. Buy it, yes or no?" The guy doesn't look so yeshivish, to put it lightly. Yeah? He may not even be Jewish.
When was the last time you bought tzitzis on the street?
That's what I'm asking you. Every guy offers
it. The answer is no. We've got to give it to the firm store.
Give it to the firm store, you're saying. Are you allowed or not? He's offering you a deal. You'll save $40. You'll go donate the $40 to tzedakah. No, what?
Selling it.
He doesn't tell you. He says, "Hey, look, I got tzitzis for you." I don't know where he got it from. He got a wrapped tzitzis. It says, it's in a box. I don't know. It's in a bag. I don't know. It's got, maybe it has an extra. Maybe it doesn't have an extra. It doesn't say b'fanei nechta. No b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechsam. It just wants to know. And he's got tzitzis. Says Shulchan Aruch, halokeach talus mitzuyetis miYisrael. If you buy from a Jew, you don't know who the Jew is. O mitagarein a Yehudi, or from a merchant which is not Jewish. Omer Shulachan miYisrael. He says he got it from Gift World. This guy has bought it from Gift World for $45. He's selling it for $2 on the street of Manhattan. Yes, that's what he says. Neman, he's believed. He bought it from Yisrael Neman, from a kosher Jew. Kosher, it's kosher. Why? Kevan de Tagaru, since he's a merchant, Chazaka Shulachan miYisrael dwell Marin Afshe. He's got a reputation to uphold. He doesn't want you to write a complaint on BBB, you know, website, whatever it is, that you bought fraudulent, you know, goods from him. Since he has a reputation to uphold, it's trustworthy. You can buy these tzitzis and use them. Avlim lokach mein Yehudi she'ein a tager. You buy from someone who's not a merchant, then it is puzzle. Fine. This seemingly innocuous halacha has a lot of wide, you know, reaching ramifications. The Ran in Avodah Zarah says that you're permitted to buy him this medicinal yayin tapuchim, some type of cider, from a non-Jew, because we're not concerned that maybe inside is mixed this like vinegar, which would possibly be yayin nesach maybe, or it's non-kosher. Why? Because the merchant, goy seller, is afraid for his reputation. He's not going to mix in this chometz, because if it comes out that he's mixing chometz and his yayin tapuchim, he's going to lose his parnasa, his livelihood, and therefore he won't lie. And it says the Ran, you know where we know that from? By the halacha by tzitzis. Fine. So it sounds like from this Ran, you can extrapolate from this halacha of seemingly nothing to do, not a very common case of tzitzis, but you could now extrapolate that you could always trust a merchant in a Yehudi, you could trust him when he gives his goods that it's going to be kosher or not. Says the Magen Avraham, not so fast. One second, he says. How could you compare wine case to the case of tzitzis? By the wine case, the guy of course is not going to lie. Because who is he selling this cider to? Jews and non-Jews. He understands that his real reputation is at stake over here. He understands that no one wants this vinegar in their drink, whether you're a Jew or not a Jew. You don't want this garbage vinegar or whatever it is in your yayin tapuchim for medicinal purposes. So therefore, he's going to be super careful to tell the truth because he doesn't want a report on the BBB website. But when it comes to tzitzis, he says, what does the guy care? He doesn't know the difference. He doesn't understand the ramifications of if it's made a lishma, not made a lishma. So maybe he will tell you a little bit of a fib in order to sell his wares. So how could the Ran compare our case to that case? How come tzitzis is mutter? So how come Shulchan Aruch says tzitzis is mutter? He says, you know why? Because it is so uncommon for an Eini Yehudi to make tzitzis, that you could presume if a guy's standing on a street corner in Manhattan with a kosher-looking tzitzis, you could presume who made those tzitzis? Some Jewish person. How'd he get it? Don't ask too many questions. But practically speaking, you don't have to worry that the guy made it. But based according to this Magen Avraham, you can't extrapolate to every case of buying something from an Eini Yehudi merchant that it's going to be good, only if the item is something that they care about and we care about, Eini Yehudim and Yehudim care about, that's when you could trust him. But if it's for a mitzvah purpose, he tells you an esrog, for example. He says, yeah, this is an esrog, not a citrus fruit. I don't know, or whatever, a lemon, yeah? So he says, is it not
a... so many problems over the last few months with mezuzahs.
With mezuzahs, exactly. It's exactly...
They were all...
Exactly the same issue. Because what do they care if they lie? If it's something...
But they lied.
That's exactly my point. You can't trust them, according to the Magen Avraham, because only things that they care about for themselves, for example, this medicinal drink, they don't want to drink it with chometz either. It has nothing to do with Jewishness and frumkeit. So for that, we assume that...
the difference.
Oh, okay, so one second. So are there any other Eterim? So comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, first of all, I follow this Magen Avraham. He writes that it's not so clear that you could always rely. He says, "Daf gugabe talus pitzitziosea samchin and al svarazum aminum shum de in derech nachri witlos tzitzis bebigdo." Because it's not normal for an Ena Yehudi to string tzitzis, he says. But to buy the actual strings, or to buy, let's say, an esrog from a nachri, he says. He's not talking about esrog, but it would be the same thing. He says, that already we don't trust them, because that's something which is unique to Jews, and it's something which is not the derech. They could buy strings, they could sell you strings. So he says, that already you have to be a little bit suspicious. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, there are other heterim. One other heter is if it is completely the goy's job. In other words, all he does all day is stand on the street corner and sell tzitzis. Or all he does is, all year round, he sells sukkahs. Or he sells esrogim. That's his job. And therefore, if it's his full parnosis, says the Mishnah Berurah, then already we can trust that he's not going to lie. Now look, that doesn't mean that every case is going to be honest, as we have seen, but you can trust him, because since he's giving up his entire business for this, if he's caught as a fraud, he's dead. His business is over. In that case, you'd be allowed to trust him. Yeah, sorry. So the present. I didn't see anyone make that distinction. It doesn't mean it's not a good point. But I didn't see, the poskim don't seem to be talking about the worth, the cost, or the worth of the item. It's more of an issue of what are the situations that we could trust him. Yeah.
Is it also maybe a difference, like if you're a small town in Europe or in a neighborhood, the reputation is more of a matter as opposed to trouble?
That's interesting.
Where you can argue that there's no reputation that's going to follow him.
So that's interesting. I hear that, again, the poskim don't seem to distinguish that. They make other distinctions. For example, they make a distinction similar to what you're saying, is that there's a Shulchan Aruch in Yardaya which says it's a minog to permit to give a goy canvas material to make, like, sew you a beged. Why? We're worried that maybe he's going to replace it with linen and you're going to have a shot in this beged. Says Shulchan Aruch, you know why it's permitted? Because you can tell the difference. If you burn canvas, you burn linen, one will burn, I forget which one will burn faster than the other one. So in other words, it's a milsa d'avida v'gluye. If it's something which the result can be known to others through a test, then they won't lie as well, and therefore that's other something to rely upon. However, just the flip side, which is, I think, a very complex chabura, which I'm not going to give you as much comfort as I wasn't comfortable that I understand exactly when we can make the distinction to rely and not rely. On the flip side of this, is you know the famous gemara that if you're not sure if a food is kosher, you give it to a kfeil arma, you give it to an Aramean baker to test it. Says the Rama, we don't do that nowadays. And we'd rather rely on percentages. If it's 60 times more of etter, mutter, to make it something mutter, usser, we don't rely upon that. So part of it, the reason why we don't rely on them in that case, is because, let's say we would give it to them to taste, and they would lie. And we would call them out on their lie. You know what they would say? Yeah, I have different taste buds today, or, you know, my taste is a little bit off. There'd be a way for them to weasel out and to explain away their difference. So in that case, you don't believe them. Now, just to tie up everything, and it just really ties up to everything I thought spoke about in Shavuos. Some people here came to my series on Mamzerim. We talked a little bit about Mamzerim or not Mamzerim. I couldn't get over Mamzerim. But so we have one more last line about we're talking about Mamzerim. Nothing else is on the tape. That was all in Shavuos. We're not putting anything else. If you want to ask me afterwards, we can tell you what we talked about. But one issue comes up, which is DNA testing. We talked a little bit about this at 3, I think the 3 o'clock share. But is DNA testing used or usable for Mamzerim? Interestingly, it ties into, I didn't even realize, ties into this tzitzis stuka, the sugya. Why? Because how do you trust DNA? Someone, scientist, has got to be in some room making a test, and likely he's not Jewish, and he's going to write you, I don't know what they prescribe, some test results which are going to maybe now be electronic, but he's putting those results in. You don't know. You didn't do the DNA test. He did. You're relying on his word. So again, over here, the reason why we're able to rely on him, because if it comes out that he's misrepresenting his DNA results, he's going to end up like that Thermos woman. What's it called? Holm. What's the name of Holm? Well, you know who I'm referring to. That woman is about to go to jail for defrauding everyone with these blood tests. A doctor or a scientist who messes up the results intentionally ends up in jail for 10 years. So therefore, that fear enough is enough to rely upon him that his DNA results are going to be okay. So maybe that can be reliable to a certain extent in determining Mamzerus. Much out of my scope. There's a little bit of an all over the place Kabura. Something to think about. I don't know. I fully understand when exactly could rely, when exactly can't rely. I do know that by tzitzis, says Shulchan Aruch, you can rely because we could assume only Jews are the ones who actually string these tzitzis.